What's going on, everybody? It's Josh Wilson. We're in the Big Dog Podcast, doing things a little bit different this week. We're coming up on the 1 year mark of recording here in the Big Dog Podcast studio. Really excited about it. And we thought it'd be kind of fun to do it a little bit different. Today, we're actually dropping our very first episode with Pastor Stu Hodges from Water's Edge Church. And that episode was we entitled Embrace the Circumstance. And it's all about embracing the circumstances in your life, what's going on in that moment, how you're dealing with them. When we recorded this episode, we were about a year into COVID. And it was a very interesting time. And we talked about businesses and people's personal lives and churches and all the changes and the different things they had to go through, you know, over that initial year period of time. And it's lessons that were super applicable a year ago, but they're very applicable still today with things that are going on in the world and in so many people that we talk to's daily lives. So we thought it'd be a fun thing to do to have so many new listeners now with the podcast versus who we had when we first started out. Thank you, Mom and Mamu and Devin and the kids and Angie Mack for listening, you know, when we first got this thing started. Well, we got a handful more people now than we did back then. And there was so much good content early on. We thought it'd be fun to bring that to you. So this week, you got Stu Hodges, lead pastor, Water's Edge Church. This message will change your life. It will definitely change your week. So I hope that you enjoy it. And then in the coming weeks, we're going to be doing a couple mashups of some of our favorite conversations, favorite moments in the first year of the podcast as we prep for year number two, launching this summer. So we're hype about it. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode as much as I did, and we're going to see you real soon. What's up, everybody? Josh Wilson, and this is the Big Dog Podcast. Thanks for joining us this week. Let me tell you, the big dog we've got in the room today, hands down, one of the most influential people in my life. This guy, shoot, I guess I met him 2009. And let me tell you the level of impact this guy has had in my life. And then I'm going to let you tell him about himself. He's going to have to trump this story, though. And it's a one-line story. This man is a person that God chose to use to introduce me to himself. That's crazy. God used Stu Hodges, the lead pastor at Water's Edge Church, to open the door for my relationship with Jesus. That's Stu Hodges, and that is the impact that he's had in my life, and he's in the room with me. Because he's the biggest dang dog of them all. So, everybody, lead pastor Stu Hodges of Water's Edge Church. Stu.
That's a hard story to trump. I don't see me being able to trump that one.
It's the truth. It is the truth. I, you know, and you guys will learn more about me, you know, as we go through with this podcast and stuff. But when I first learned about Stu and met Stu, I was in a jacked up, broken depression state, just crazy, crazy time in my life. And I randomly walked into a YMCA with some trailers sitting on the side of the road. And my bougie ass is like, why am I going to this gym with some beat up trailers on the side of the road? And, but there was just something that drew me in. And this dude got up there, started talking and freaking wrecked me. And it's been a crazy ride going on 12 years now. Which is insane. But yeah, Stu's just the man. And Stu, why don't you tell him a little bit about you and family and how you got into pastoring?
Yeah, we've lived a lot of life together in 12 years. 2009, we were a church in a YMCA. That was it. We had started the church in 2003 and we were about to move into our first permanent location. And you found us just before then.
That's right, which is
kind of exciting. So we're celebrating 18 and a half years of Water's Edge Church. My wife and I have been leading that. We've got three kids. I've got a a kid who is starting his third year in college, which That's is nuts. Crazy. He's That's at Christopher Newport University studying pre-med, plays
launching rockets,
plays baseball for the Captains. Just they just lost their conference championship. So we're a little bitter, but
sorry, B.
He'll be all right. So that's our son, Braden. And then we have a daughter who is graduating in another couple of weeks, Emma. She'll be going to Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia.
You can't handle this.
It's crazy. And then we've got a daughter who's the same age as your son, Logan. And she will be a junior.
Yeah.
A junior.
I'm not okay with any
of
this.
I know you're not. And it's happening, though.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. Because the light at the end of the tunnel means empty nest and a raise.
There you go.
You know, get them out of the house. And suddenly my wife and I can do what we want.
The thing that's so funny about that is, you know, because Logan's 16, Kiki just turned 14
yep.
a week ago. And the majority of our friends, their children are much younger yeah, than us.
Right.
They went work route,
yep.
you know, profession, all these things. Devin and I were like, hey, let's knock these kids out. If we're lucky, they end up being okay human beings.
Absolutely.
And then we're young enough, not that we're going to do that mess again, but now we can go do whatever.
Lots of options.
I mean, we'll be 40, mid 40s.
Late
you
know, 40s.
Late 40s. Okay. Mid 40s when, for me, I don't know, you may late 40s. I'll be, you know, 40s. I'll be mid 40s yeah. when the kids are out and we got life.
That's right.
And we can go chase all like our nieces and nephews and not be in a chair, hopefully, you know, rolling around or a walker.
That's right.
Feeling strong. I'm looking at some of my friends like 39, 40 having babies.
I can't imagine.
God bless.
I can't imagine.
I don't have it in me. I couldn't imagine.
Nope.
I could not imagine. I mean, I'm a great poppy. I'll tell you that. Like I'm poppy to my nieces and nephews because when they start having these kids and I'm 38, 40 years, I'm old. I can't be Uncle Josh. They got to call me Poppy. And I can knock out a diaper. I can hang whatever. They got to go home.
Yeah. Yeah.
These toddlers, they got to go home.
Yeah. You don't. Yeah. You can't hang all the time.
I'll be whooping a kid. And I don't know that everybody wants to be whooping their kids. I'm sorry, but I'm a whooping kid. If they're at my house and they're acting a fool and you're not whooping them.
Yeah. Hopefully we're editing.
I'm whooping.
Editing them. This portion out.
No, leave it in. I'm whooping them. If they're in my house and you're not taking responsibility, I'm getting them.
That's great.
So anyway, the kids are working towards exit.
Yes.
Emma's going to Liberty.
Yes.
Which was like her lifelong dream. That's what
seventh
she wanted,
grade.
Right?
She visited Liberty University in so seventh cool. grade and she set her mind on it and said, that's what I'm doing.
She did the work. Got it done.
It's amazing. Really?
That's cool. Yeah. I know y'all are proud of her.
Yeah, excited. We are. We really are.
That's awesome. Now, so you got the kids.
Yep.
You and Tabitha.
Yeah.
And Weck.
Yes.
All right. So what else? What are you into? You got a boat last year, didn't you?
I did. I've boated before, but I've never had my own. That's the best kind of boat, by the way, when it's somebody else's. So my in-laws always had a boat at the lake and then they sold the lake, which means they sold the boats and I had to get my own. And it's been an adventure. People may not know our area is surrounded by water. So,
oh yeah. Everywhere.
And I've lived here most of my life, but I've never played on the waterways in Hampton Roads. And it's very different than lake life. There are these things called tides. I don't know if you knew about them.
Yeah,
tides. I don't know if you knew about channel markers.
Yes.
I mean, these are things I knew nothing about. First time I took the boat out, ran out of ground. First time.
Like
aground.
The very first time.
Very first time we launched the boat.
Who all's with you?
This was Emma and Taylor and Emma's boyfriend,
okay.
Austin. And okay. Tabitha wasn't even with me. I got off work early. We took it to the boat launch. Put it in the water, started it up. I was fired up and ran it aground.
Okay.
It was an adventure.
Did you have to wait for tide to
thankfully?
Get it
no,
loose?
No, it was just a sandbar. We jumped off and, we were able to, shimmy it off the sandbar and back over into the channel, which was clearly marked, but I had no idea. I took the boater's class,
yeah.
but clearly I didn't pay enough attention.
So do they run, they don't have channels, I guess, in a lake? They
no,
don't
no, have no, markers, no, 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 none of that.
The lake is get in the boat, floor it.
Get in the boat and go. And don't worry about a thing. Fresh water is the way. But I'll tell you, Boating in Hampton Roads is beautiful.
It is beautiful. We have a boat. It's funny.
Who?
I do.
When?
I've probably had it for 5 or 6 years. Ask me, Stu.
Wait, you're not talking about the duck blind boat.
The duck boat. Ask me the last time I've seen that boat.
Do you know where that boat is?
I do. When was it paid every month?
When's the last time you saw the boat?
December, I think 2018. Sorry, babe.
Hey, we have a boat for sale now, yeah. Apparently.
It's an 18 and a half foot center console duck boat. Comes with a blind.
Yeah.
Great for fishing around here. We can get in the flats of Pocosin, fish. We had a great time for like 2 years.
What happened?
I don't got time for that. I don't have a lot of hobbies. I don't know that I have many hobbies at all. I love what I do, though. And I always want to be doing that or spending time with my family or figuring out how to have my family do that.
I understand.
And so, I'd love to kill all the things, ducks, geese, whatever. I don't like killing stuff, though, as much as I like messing with the business, trying to build the business.
And here we are at the Big Dog Podcast.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to give it a go.
Here's the thing. The boat has been for us a fantastic family experience.
Cool. That's
because
cool.
As your kids get older, you know, they have lots of options
They
have keys in their pockets and cars to go and friends to see and other families that invite them to do things as well. Yeah. So I had to stay competitive.
Yeah. And that's a tough thing that we're finding because Kiki, you know, like I said, 14, I don't have a competitive advantage with her. The boat sure as heck is not it.
That boat would not be it. I think boat could be it.
Yeah, but not the boat. I'm a
not that boat.
No, we did that a long time ago. Yeah, PTSD. I can't do that again. Yeah, I get that competitive piece though. Like, hey, what is going to garner the attention?
Absolutely.
Well, you saw the simulator.
I'm trying to keep my son around. Absolutely.
He's into golf. Shoot.
Dedicated a whole room to a golf simulator.
Here you go.
That's the way to do it.
Let's play. I bet you him and his homeboys will be over here. So hitting golf balls into the wall.
That's probably true.
So look, that's awesome. So a couple of reasons I wanted to have you on. One, I wanted to acknowledge the world, just who you are in my life.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And because you're just super important to me. We joked the other day, I called you and you were like, oh gosh, you were on a little anniversary trip.
I was.
With Tabitha.
That's right.
And you thought something was wrong.
When you called.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
You thought something was wrong.
We text frequently, but the phone call threw me a little off for a loop. Yeah.
And I said to him, that's how jacked up our relationship is that if we call each other, it's got to be something bad. And so we're going to get better about that.
Well, I mean, or the fact that when you call, I know it's important.
Yeah.
And I'm answering. Like I'm your guy. You call, I'm answering. That. I call you. I know you're answering. And there's been some of those moments.
Oh, we've had a few
crisis moments where the phone has rung and we've been there for each other, which is what brotherhood is about.
That is a fact. That is very true. So there was that reason I wanted to bring you on, just to tell the world, man, I love you and you're so important to me. Two, I really, really, really appreciated and respected how you led through 2020 and all the craziness in it. And there are a lot of people, and you know, a lot of people that led exceptionally well through 2020 and early 21, dealing with the little thing called the Rona.
Yep.
And I think that's what, Jonathan, is that what we're referring to it as here on the show, the Rona?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, the Rona is what we'll call it going forward. A lot of people just tucked tail, shut down, forced to.
Right.
I think more so than people that were forced to, people just did. And I think a lot of people got comfortable being like, hey, you can't do this. You can't do that.
Sure. Yeah.
And the thing that really stood out to me about Water's Edge and your team and a lot of other businesses and stuff as well, but particularly with like my personal church, was immediately you guys were trying to figure out how to reach people and help them.
Yep.
Immediately. Like, hey, you're shut down. You cannot have church this Sunday.
Right.
And Water's Edge, guys, I hope you guys go to their website, watersedgechurch.net. Stu will give you some other places to connect with him, follow him, you know, towards the end of the show. But this isn't a 150 person church. We're talking about thousands of people, right, you know, week in and week out locally that come in these doors. Families, you know, people bringing guests and visitors every week. And all of a sudden, what was it, like a Wednesday when you found out?
It was actually a Saturday,
okay,
when we got official word that we could not have church on Sunday.
The following Sunday.
That Sunday. Yeah. Yeah. We had a window of a few hours.
Yeah.
Really to try to figure out what we were going to do.
So yeah, hundreds of thousands of churches across, yeah, the country, millions.
Yeah.
Really got that message.
Yes.
What was that next? What was that 90 minutes like following that debrief, that information's communicated?
Yeah. I mean, for I think any church, you know, largely our strategies are centered around bringing people together. And when that had to shift, we use the word pivot a lot. When we had to pivot away from that strategy, I think it really depends on the leader as to what those 90 minutes were like.
Yeah.
I think a lot, and you described it, I think a lot of leaders, you know, shut down. I think a lot of leaders could not wrap their head around a pivot, could not wrap their head around a change in strategy, doing something different. For me and my temperament, and I think my leadership style is let's attack it. Let's, yeah, figure it out. Let's come up with the solution. Let's fight for, still moving forward. Yeah. And so that's what we did. We went into pivot mode very quickly. And we actually labeled that season. We called it the pivot season, where we literally looked at all of our strategies that were focused on bringing people together and figured out what we needed to do to continue to advance our mission.
Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, when that happens in the team, because here's the thing, on our teams, we have a lot of different,
absolutely,
personalities,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you've got the people who are like, man, COVID, what? Give me a break. Like, yep, everything's fine.
Right.
Right. Then you've got the other extreme. I can't come to work anymore.
Yep.
At the end of the day, they're literally terrified, and there's, yeah, no right or wrong.
There's not,
you know, in this, like, everybody's different. We're all wired differently. Yep. And when it comes to you and your family and me and mine and Jonathan and his,
yes,
and, you know, you make the decision and you move forward. Has to be based on what you believe is the best course of action.
Right.
So, you know, you've got some people potentially who are still maybe not back at work. I know there's some businesses doing that. You know, and those who are kind of grinding the whole time. We were in the middle of construction when all that messed up.
Right.
And I was like, well, if I just don't turn on the TV or go on social media, I'll pretend everything's,
right,
fine.
Right.
Best way to approach it. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. We're still here, so we're doing okay. One thing that was really cool to me though, is you guys are pivoting and being aggressive, how to reach people, how to stay connected. And again, you, like most churches, the importance is getting people in the door on Sundays. And now you are indefinitely closed on Sundays.
Right.
Now, WEC has been reaching people online for years. Gosh, yep, you guys are pretty, yep, early on in that to a certain extent.
Right.
Talk to me though, because one of the you use the word pivot, and we use pivot a lot, yeah, around here.
Yeah.
I think my staff hates it because I'm like, pivot, 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 and we just roll. You guys started doing stuff during the week though. And like every day, like forcing positivity,
yep,
on people when all they were hearing was craziness.
Yeah.
And talk to me about how you guys came to that decision, like as a team, who drove that? Cause that was an all in effort. You guys had different staff live throughout the day, pre-records. I mean, people were from their houses doing, yeah, these things. How did y'all land on that? Cause I thought that was tremendous.
Yeah. We really early on, we created almost like a content channel. You know, we really upped our game in terms of what we were doing on YouTube and social media. And we came up with a content schedule. And that while we had been doing some online ministry, we had been broadcasting our services and that sort of thing. We had never taken this level of intentionality about trying to create what we now call weekday content. I think what drove that decision was a desire to make sure that our community and beyond knew that as a church, we wanted to stay connected.
Yeah.
And we couldn't stay connected on Sundays in person in gatherings. We couldn't stay connected through some of our other activities and programs that we had been offering. And so we wanted to make sure we were staying connected some way.
Yeah.
And I think what drove it for me was just the sense of realizing that in this season, maybe more than ever before, people needed, they needed hope. They needed good news. Yeah, they needed a community and a connectedness that they probably weren't going to get anywhere else. And so we just wanted to step in and fill that void.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that's what we did. I said to all of our staff, like, and a lot of, most of our staff don't create content. You know,
right.
we have people that do a lot of other things. They're not necessarily creating content. And, and I, you know, probably the first week looked at all of them and said, okay, everybody around the table, every one of our team members, you are now content creators.
Sure.
Like that is now part of your job. It wasn't part, and it may not be part of your job in the future, but at least right now, be ready to churn out. So we started creating content for kids. We started creating content for families. We took prayer nights online. We took worship nights online.
I mean, y'all were rolling.
I mean, we did fitness. I mean, we kind of took it in every angle to try to keep to fill the void. Really the void of positivity and connectedness. That's what we were going for.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. I feel like every time I turn around, notification popping up.
Yeah.
You know, Waters Edge Church is live, you know, and it was something going on.
Yeah. And through that, honestly, when we didn't expect this, we had no idea. But what we discovered through that was a connectedness between online weekday content and online Sunday services and engagement.
Okay. Yeah.
That's bothering you.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So guys, the freaking TV just took the logo away and, I'm sorry. Trust me. It bothers me way more than it bothers you. Some freaking operation we got running around here. And, it bothers me.
I could tell.
It bothers
me a
lot.
I lost you about halfway through my answer. Cause
I will tell you this right now though. Yep.
And I love that about you, JW. I love it about you.
From a programming standpoint and a production standpoint, and those that don't know, another piece of Stu and I story, I ran the business side of Waters Edge Church for 5 years.
Yeah.
For 5 years.
The best 5 years of our lives.
Well, it was a great 5 years. Is that the appropriate response to that? I'm sorry. No, it honestly was the greatest 5 years. So far out of comfort zone. I mean, gosh, we could do an entire episode those 5 years.
We really should.
That was insane. Me working in ministry. Guys, it was the real deal. And it was a lot of fun. And it was a lot of stress. But when you talk about like video and audio and programming and all of those things and attention to detail and, you know, a little edginess with it and bothered by the littlest things. Honestly, my level of paranoia bringing Stu Hodges into my studio today is so high because I know he's ripping me like mentally on everything.
I'm going to send you an email when it's all said and done. I'll give you some feedback.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Anyway, really funny.
On me.
It is, Jonathan. I'm sorry.
What's that?
Jonathan is really coming back on him.
No, it's not your fault. It's just a thing.
So that TV must have like a 30, 45 minute time limit, like a timeout limit.
Power save. Is it not being green? I don't care about green. I mean,
okay. I understand.
I'm not the best recycler, okay? But I don't think it's a big deal to let the TV run and not be hung up. Anyway, so sorry. Back on track.
Absolutely.
Another really awesome thing.
Yeah.
That you guys, and I cannot remember the gentleman's name. it's the coolest story ever. You know, Water's Edge has multiple locations, and you know, first multi-site church really in Hampton Roads.
Yeah, is that correct? I think so. Yeah.
Early on for Virginia too.
Absolutely.
But one of the really cool things that came about this, because again, we've had the online presence.
Yeah.
But you know, people are getting together and still like their families and watching church and stuff. And then all of a sudden you guys started having, because you were having interaction from people online. And there was a gentleman in Africa.
Outside of Kenya.
Okay. Tell everybody about this, Eric. Okay. Because this story is freaking incredible. And I mean, there's like, that's incredible life change taking place from a pivot that you guys chose to make from a strategy standpoint and level of engagement online. Like that story from him watching like on his phone.
Right.
And then people like,
yeah, it is crazy, you know, and I think, you know, the pivot that Rona, that's what you called it.
Yes.
That Rona created for organizations, for churches, for businesses. You can either embrace that and it can open up a whole new world, right?
Yeah.
Or you can resist it and it might kill you.
For sure.
So organizationally, we decided we're going to embrace. This has caused us to do something that we probably would not have done, the weekday online content.
Right.
Pivoting to put major emphasis and focus dollars in energy into our online presence, online church. Those are things that were not on our radar.
Because going into it again, you were just taking the Sunday service,
absolutely,
putting it online for people to view on demand.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That was pretty much
no real engagement.
No engagement, no strategy behind it, no none of that.
Okay.
So the pivot of Rona has forced us, you know, forced our hand, and we welcomed it,
yeah,
to say, hey, let's learn new ways. Let's do things differently. And so going church online, weekday content, all those components was really a part of the pivot.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so because of that, now, gosh, our ministry's expanded. We grew 12.5% year over year in a season where we couldn't even have church.
That's insane.
Which is crazy, right? and so it was, you know, it's 2020 will go down as the most difficult year,
yeah,
without a doubt. But for us, it'll go down as one of our years of greatest
growth.
Numerical growth, yeah, year over year because of it. And so we pivoted, went online and embraced it. And now, you know, we've got Water's Edge Church family,
yeah,
in all 50 states and internationally. And I can't even remember. The number of countries is astounding that where people engage with us now online. And there's a guy, Eric, in Africa early on, who found us online and started engaging with us. And every single Sunday now hosts a Water's Edge watch party.
It's amazing.
And in the front yard of his little hut outside of Kenya. And
that's legit. Like, we're not joking. This hut outside of Kenya.
No.
This is
we've
legit.
Yes. We've connected.
It's incredible.
He and his wife are an active part of our family. And it again would never have happened had we not embraced the circumstance. And I think that's the challenge, right? Yeah. That's you talked about this in terms of different personalities of people on the team, that that was probably the biggest shock for me.
Yeah.
In the pivot was that not everybody had the bandwidth, not everybody had the capacity to make the shift.
Yeah.
That's difficult. That's difficult to understand. That's difficult to embrace. And it's hard to know how to lead through that, because as a leader, you do have responsibility through that.
Yeah. You know? So you just said a comment. Well, a couple of things I want to touch on. Embrace the circumstance.
Yeah.
Like, that's so good. That is so good, because it's a circumstance. It's a moment.
Yeah.
And it's all going to be choice driven, right? Decision driven. Not making a choice is in fact a choice.
Right. That's right.
You know, yep. being choosing to be stagnant, choosing to do nothing is a choice. And, you know, 15 months into, well, 13, 14 months, almost 15 months now into this Rona season.
Yeah.
Those that are, whether you're doing well, whether your business is growing, whether your business has shut down completely, whether it stayed stagnant, whether you've been healthy, whether you've been not, 100% of it is driven by the choices that we made.
Yeah.
And so embracing that circumstance and you, the way you're wired, like we're going to be aggressive. Absolutely. We're going to attack right. this. We are moving forward. That's super hard for the teammates that can't get on board with that.
Right.
Because now they're wondering, well, why are we not like protecting us? Why yeah. are we not? And that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. It's not selfish. It's a choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a wiring. But I truly believe those that embraced the circumstance and took massive action, not even perfect action. No. A friend of mine talks about like action is the important part. Doesn't have to be perfect. Doesn't have to be whatever, you know, and I struggle with that a lot. We could have launched this podcast a year ago, but I'm hung up on, I wanted to feel a certain way. I wanted it to look a certain yeah. way. And we had to try a bunch of different things. I couldn't just take action on it. And that's a flaw. And I'm a year behind on where I want to be with certain things because of that. But I'm okay with the consequence of that choice and that yeah. decision. I feel like so many people right now, they're not okay. They're upset. They're bothered by their situation or their circumstance. But it's driven by the choice they made over the last 18
right.
months.
Right.
So you can't, I just have a hard time when people are upset with the results they got from the choice
right.
you know, they made.
Yeah.
Another thing that you said that I thought was really cool, and one thing I love about you and have always loved about Water's Edge, is I'm a numbers guy, right? I'm not the smartest guy on the yep. planet. Not good with math, you know, and all those things, but like I get numbers and I can read them and projections and all that stuff. I love the numbers. You walked in, we were looking at
yep.
our board. That's what I live in. Water's Edge Church is so about the numbers.
Yeah.
And you always say, you know, every number is a story, every that's story right. matters. And there's that's a couple right. of little things yes. that go along with it. But that's such a big deal, because the fact that you guys have grown, you know, that amount over the last year, reached that many more people, right. countries all over the world, people that had there not been Corona, you would have never impacted, right. reached,
yeah.
introduced them an opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus. Like, it's tremendous. And it's because you're focused on the numbers. You know who's coming. You know who's not. You know if people are bringing people.
Right.
You know if people are connecting online. And y'all just threw it all out there to try to connect. And now you guys are seeing the benefit of that. But the thing is, the exponential impact of that for every family that trickles down to, because of a message they heard,
right.
a live event that they got to follow, you know, there people sitting around. I wonder how many people have come to Eric's front yard over the last year.
Sure.
And heard a message of positivity.
Right.
When everything else is just garbage.
Right.
It's just tremendous.
Yeah.
I just love it. And if you didn't care about the numbers, it would just be like, okay, guys, you know, there's 300 of you. Watch this on the weekend and we'll see you when we open back up.
Well, yeah. And I think a lot of us, you know, like to lead by gut intuition.
Sure.
And we like to make decisions based on the stories in our immediate circles, right? But ultimately, the numbers tell the better story. And the numbers are what allows you to make more informed decisions.
100%.
So this has really become this running almost a joke with me is you know, we're working on conversion rates for our online viewership.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not something they teach you in seminary. That's not something
they
that
don't?
That we ever would have, you know, thought about. But, you know, I can talk conversion rates with the best of them now.
Right.
only because, man, we need to know that what we're doing online is effective in keeping people connected so that they do get the ultimate message and so that they do get the hope that we're trying to offer to them.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good. How is, you guys have started transitioning, having staff come back to the office or the offices.
Yes,
you guys offices, are spread out.
Right.
How is that transition gone? How did you feel like, did the team overwhelmingly thrive, you know, from home, or were there hits and misses?
Yeah, I think there were a lot of hits and misses, you know. I actually, you know, and probably a lot of people will say this, you know, that I think most people would say productivity actually increased.
Yep.
And yet as productivity increased, you know, culture and team and connectedness and togetherness decreased. And so you really have to weigh those two out. You know, what do you want? Do you want a more productive team?
Right.
If so, you might just send everybody home and let them work by themselves.
Yeah.
You know, but do you want a connected team? Do you want a team that thrives within culture? You got to make sure you've got in my opinion, you got to make sure you got opportunities for them to be together somehow, some way. And I know there are ways to handle that virtually. And I know there are people way smarter on that than I am.
It's not the same.
But it's not the same.
It's not the same as high-fiving your coworker.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same when we met 8 months ago for lunch and we fist bumped in the parking lot as when you walked in today and I just gave you a big old bear hug.
Right. Yep.
'Cause that's what we do.
That's right.
And it's not the same.
Yeah.
You know, how long did you guys go? 'Cause guys, this team at Water's Edge Church, they spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, they monthly, I know, probably at least monthly, they have an all staff type deal where everybody comes together and wins and lessons from Stu and things like that. I know at least you used to do those things. How long is that something y'all still do?
Yeah, we still do. In fact, during Rona, we actually upped the ante. We were all staffing once a week.
Oh, okay.
Because what I
virtually
felt, virtually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, clarity and we were having, you know, you were doing the same thing. Everybody was. Weekly things were changing. Weekly we were adjusting, you know? And so clarity was so essential in those days, that we wanted, I made sure we were together once a week. I wanted to be in front of the team, once a week. So we were doing that once a week, we're once a month.
How long did you guys go without physically having the unit together? I'm sure it was by guidelines, state of Virginia. Don't worry about it.
All together. I mean, all together, it was 5-6 months.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, so we had some teams that you referenced our programming and production. The value add of those teams being together was so important that some of those teams came back earlier than others. But being together, all together, it was months.
Yeah.
And it took a toll.
For sure.
It took a toll.
I mean, emotionally, ministry is such, I don't think you can ever appropriately explain.
Sure.
Working in ministry and that lifestyle, particularly I think at any level, it's very difficult and consuming and challenging and worth every bit of it. But I think at the level of which Water's Edge Church and like churches in size and staff, and the capacity of which they feel led to reach more people and grow, it's inexplainable. I mean, you just don't know it unless you're in it. Hmm. And the thing that the barrier to entry to ministry is very high, because you can't just be like, one day I'm going to work in ministry.
Right.
It literally has to be everything that you're about in your soul. It has to be a calling. And for some, it's a calling for a season.
Right.
Right. And it took me a little while. Like, I struggled with that after I transitioned out. Like, am I making the right decision? I struggled with that leading up to talking to you. I mean, it's probably why I had one of the longest transitions in the history of any job.
Yeah. It was at least 2.5 years.
You know. I mean, it felt like it. Not because of you, of course, but you know, there is so much required of you to be in ministry and thrive emotionally and physically and mentally and spiritually working in ministry. That togetherness as a team is so vitally important. And so that was one thing I know Devin and I, we would talk about, and, you know, we're praying for the team about, because I'm like, I couldn't do that work. I think I'm a pretty mentally strong person. I have fortitude. You know, I don't think I could have done it not being able to be with the team.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you guys continued, not without issues, not without hiccups, right, not without transitions, not, you know, that's just reality. But to continue to move forward daily is just tremendous. I think it's a testament to you. It's a testament to your leadership team. It's a testament to your team as a whole, that I really just appreciate and respect the heck out of, because knowing what it takes to thrive and do well in that industry, for lack of a better word,
right,
not being able to do it with team is tough. So it's really impressive that people are where they're at. And I know a lot of the staff, I talk to them often, and I feel like people are great and in a good headspace and doing well. And that's just awesome. The investment you and Tab and the rest of the team you continue to make is just great. It's awesome to see you guys back together. It's awesome to see people walking back in the doors.
Yeah.
And it's really awesome to see people without that.
Yeah. So this Sunday will be the first official Sunday that in Virginia, the mask mandate for fully vaccinated individuals has been removed. So
that's pretty cool.
The last couple of weeks, as we've been moving toward less restrictions, the vibe, both on Sunday and in our office has been so really cool. Good. It's refreshing. It's refreshing to be back together.
Yeah.
But I really do think that season of being apart and the whole Rona season, as we call it on the Big Dog Podcast, is that it tested resiliency. I think it tested resiliency of leaders. I think it tested resiliency of organizations, of individuals. And that's, for me, one of the big takeaways as a leader is I want to create a more resilient team. I want to create a more resilient organization.
Yeah.
And I want to be intentional in these coming months to build the resiliency of the people around me, of myself, of my family, of our church, so that whatever's next. You know, God forbid it's another pandemic. I don't believe it will be,
but right,
whatever's next, whatever circumstance is next, that we weather that one even better than this one.
Yeah.
And it really does boil down to, I think we have a clear picture now of how resilient we are, how resilient our organization is. If your organization didn't make it, if your business didn't make it, sure, there were a lot of outside circumstances,
100%,
you know, but at the end of the day, you know, it left me asking the question, well, what had I really built?
Mm-hmm.
What did I really build?
Yes.
If it couldn't make it through a pandemic, what did I really build?
Right.
And parts of what I built didn't make it.
100%.
You know, our in-person attendance has tanked and yet to return. I hope and pray and believe it will over time.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it leaves you ask, okay, well, what did I really build then if it's not resilient enough to make it through Corona? Sure.
Well, yeah. And that's a crazy thing because, you know, as things are starting to lighten up, and I look at within my businesses, I mean, we opened a new venture right smack in the middle of it.
Right.
We opened some additional training locations. Continue to staff up and hire people. And we feel very fortunate by all those things. And I'm sitting here as we're coming out of this time. And I was like, okay, if we can do pretty good, not without flaw,
right,
but do pretty well with all this that's going on, I'm like, man, I'm a pretty confident guy. I don't know that I need more confidence. That freaking gave me confidence. And I did not have a lot of it for a pretty confident guy. I mean, you and I spoke often early on.
Yeah.
We would jump on the call. Hey, how are you doing?
Yeah.
How's the team? Where's your head at? what's going on. And we had very shared conversations, like very open. I mean, I'm your guy, you're my guy. Like, we tell each other stuff. Yeah. And, you know, we got to be strong, lead well. We got it together. Stu.
Yeah, on the other side of that.
Stu, I don't know. What if I've trained every dog in the state of Virginia? What if the dogs can get this corona? Right. What if? Everybody has fears. Everybody has it. Even if you're aggressive and an action taker and all those things, there's still the other part of your brain.
That's right.
That's telling you all the reasons that you're not ready, that you're not capable, that you haven't done enough, that you haven't built something that's ready to withstand this.
Right.
And so I think there's a lot of people coming out of this, to your point. It's like, hey, we survived this. A couple of circles I run in where I try to surround myself with these winners, these savages.
Yeah.
They're winning bigger than they've ever won in life. And the one common thing between all of them, action.
Hmm.
Action. No one sat back waiting for someone to tell them it's okay to do something.
Right.
You know, and there was something that would be rolled out. Okay. How are we now continuing to press forward, continuing to implement based on whatever generic policy has just been thrown out? Your church has to be closed.
Right.
There's not a whole lot you can do about that.
Not about that.
But there's a lot of other things you can do.
That's right.
And the majority chose stagnant.
Yeah.
I'll wait for them to tell me to open up.
Yeah.
I'll wait for them to tell me that I can fire up my kitchen again and have people inside to eat. I'll wait for them to tell me I can do my group classes with dog training. I'll wait for them to do that. I saw so many. My biggest regret, I didn't launch an online training course.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Yeah.
So dumb.
Right. Right.
The thought was there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really crappy trainers out there that launched a lot of crappy online training things. And
they probably did okay.
They're killing
it. Yeah, I was going to say.
It's brilliant.
Right.
They took action. I did not. It's cool. I want them to win. That's just, everybody should win. Take action. And that's the common thing. So there's just so much opportunity out there. But you have to take action.
Yeah.
And be intentional with it. And then if someone tries to slam the door or change it, to your tone, pivot.
Right.
What are we doing next? And I just thought that was so encouraging as you guys just press forward with this and going into this time, it's just been awesome because it carries over in the message. So I got two last questions for you. Okay. One, and I'll ask them both at the same time. One, you talked about building up resiliency, right? For yourself, for your team, for your family. What are some practical things that you're doing to do that for yourself that you can share that someone listening, you know, who maybe is struggling with this or they're trying to grind, but they're not getting wins.
Sure.
And because they lack resiliency or the last 15 months has hurt them on confidence, you know, they keep hitting these barriers and it just keeps knocking them down rather than pushing forward. So what are you doing to build yourself through that? So go ahead and answer that. And then I'll ask you the next
one. I mean, I think the number one key to building resiliency, and I've been studying this a fair amount. I'm actually preparing a talk for our team on it. And then ultimately a message series, later on this year for our church is I think the number one key, and it's going to sound funny, but, to build resiliency is to be resilient and just don't quit.
Yeah.
because so many of us, when we hit the roadblock, when we hit the obstacle, when we lose the confidence, when the circumstance overwhelms us, what is our go-to? We quit.
Yeah.
And there's no way you become a resilient person if you have a track record of quitting.
Yeah.
And so part of my resiliency is the track record of I've been through this. I've been through something before. I've lived through something before.
Right.
I've walked through a staff transition before. I've dealt with this level of pain before. I've pushed through this obstacle before. I've dealt with, you know, a downturn in the economy before, or a lack of attendance, you know, growth before. I've done some of those things in the past and I didn't quit. And now on the backside of that, I look back and trace the track record
right.
and see that I made it through. And so I know that sounds kind of, you know,
it's true.
Counter in terms of how you think about it. But ultimately, if you want to build resiliency, you got to be resilient.
Yeah, that's good. And it's so simple. And it's so true.
Just don't quit.
If every time there's a barrier, you quit.
That's right.
You've got nothing to lean on.
That's all you've got.
A buddy of mine, I was listening to a talk he did the other day, and he was like, we will quit on ourselves so easily, but we won't quit on somebody else. Yeah, and he was giving an example of like going to the gym. People are like, I'm gonna go to the gym on Monday.
Right.
You don't go.
Right.
But if you got somebody you're meeting.
Yeah, you go.
It's exponentially more that you're going to actually go.
Yep.
Because you don't want to let, I don't want to let you down.
Yep.
But I'll let me down all day long. And that's everybody.
Yeah. It's crazy, right?
And so you got to kind of like figure it out. So if you're just always quitting, you never get those little wins.
That's right.
And the little wins add up.
That's what adds up. That's right.
And, you know, it's like, okay, the first time I started doing this or whatever, like this sucked. The first time I started posting pictures on social media, they were terrible. The first time when I first started training dogs and was posting training videos, they were horrible. You know, well, 5,000 videos later,
right,
they look okay.
Yes.
You know, we're getting there, but it looked bad. We had to learn through it. Yep. We had to get one person saying, cute dog. You know, right. And then I get the crazy dog ladies who are like, ah, adorable.
Right.
Dogo or what a fur baby or whatever. And that thing's cool. We love all y'all. Thank you.
I don't know any of that language, but it's okay.
It's our reality. Well,
and I think, you know, as I think about the people who struggled the most, especially in the early days of Rona, it was people who did not have a lot of life experience.
Yeah.
You admitted it. I'll admit it.
Sure.
Rona shook us both. There are parts of it that shook our lives, shook our families, shook our businesses, our organizations, our leadership. But at the core, I've lived through some things. You know, I've got some life experience.
100%.
And that's why I say don't quit. I think the other key is in seasons like this, where now Rona is starting to be in the rearview mirror. I think it's really important that we're aware of our emotional health.
Yes.
And gosh, we could probably do a whole talk on that at some point. Just, you know, so part of resiliency is building up the emotional reserves to handle the withdrawals.
Yeah.
And so whether that's, you know, whether that's making sure that you've got a great vacation planned where you unplug, you know, and it refuels you, or whether that's making sure that you've got the right relationships that are replenishing you, or whether that's, you know, your diet, exercise, mental, spiritual disciplines that you have in place, whatever those things are, that make sure you're building healthy, stable, you know, reserves for your emotions.
For sure.
Knowing that a pandemic or a circumstance or a job transition or a you know, whatever can come and start to make withdrawals. I had enough reserves.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I want to make sure as I build resiliency, I don't quit and I build up reserves emotionally.
Yeah.
For the time when it's going to be a withdrawal.
Yeah. That's an awesome point, guys. And I hope you're hearing that. On another episode, we talked about, you know, the construction process with Bay Rivers and COVID had hit and all that stuff.
It was crazy.
And I did not have enough emotional reserves built up. And I was not in a great spot. I had gotten pretty low. Money was just hemorrhaging out. We don't even know if we're going to be able to open. Like, it's just a crazy thing. And it was the absolute worst day, terrible day. I'm freaking out, thinking I'm going to fall out. And into the driveway of the construction site, Mamu pulls up.
Come on.
And I walk out front. It's raining. I walk out front. She's like, hey, babe, we just come by to check on you. So I didn't know you're coming by. And I climbed in the back of the car. And I said this. I'm not going to do the whole story because I've already told it. But I just broke down. I sat in that car for like 45 minutes, an hour, just crying. Just crying. Grown ass man.
Yeah, but you're a mama's boy. You know,
I am a mama's boy. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, though. Those two, it was the perfect timing. There was no plan for them to come by. Good. Like, that was my emergency
tank.
That
was it. Yeah, sure.
All I needed was those two women to reach back and just put their hands on my hand.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
And I came out of that. I'm ready to run through walls.
Right.
But luckily, they had the
emotional
reserves. Because I was done.
Yeah.
That's I was running on fumes.
Yeah.
And so that's a really good point. Last question for you.
Okay.
You are a people person. You invest in people every day, all day, whether it's your family, whether it's people who go to your church, your staff, whatever. What was the emotional toll on you preaching to an empty freaking room?
Ha! Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we're not super charismatic screaming at you from the seats and all that stuff. Right. You're like, hey, pulse check sometimes. Right. And it's not because of you.
That's right.
It's just how people are. But there's a difference.
Yeah, I don't know if I know yet what the emotional toll was. I'm taking some weeks off coming up here shortly because I feel like I need to make sure I'm good with the emotional toll.
Okay.
It was a shift. It was a pivot. And I think at the end of every one of those messages, I walked off the stage from preaching to an empty room thinking, how will that land? How will that settle? You know, and fortunately we had feedback mechanisms that continued to encourage my heart, my process, my emotions through that.
Cool.
But I'll tell you, it's a lot better preaching to a full room than an empty one. Tell you that.
No doubt.
That's I will say this though. It in the end, if there is a healthy part of preaching to the empty room really did remind why I'm preaching.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a takeaway for any of us, you know, that what the circumstances of Rona might have gifted to us is a real appreciation for what we have the opportunity to do.
Yeah. I love that.
And it's a reminder of the real driver emotionally of why do you do what you do anyways?
Right.
And so if I'm only doing it because the room is full, that's probably not the right reason to
100%.
Do it. And so I think for me, though, emotionally being separated from people definitely has taken a toll. It has been healthy in terms of checking gut motivations.
Yeah.
And hey, I know if I can preach to an empty room, I can preach anywhere.
That's right. That's right. Well, Stu, thank you. How can people connect with you? Where's the best spot? How can they follow you, learn more about you?
WatersEdgeChurch.net is the website. You can watch messages and services live. You can watch them on demand. You can link to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and I think they're telling me now even TikTok.
Oh,
which is outstanding.
Well, I'm going to have to check this out.
And Stu Hodges at WEC, I believe, is Facebook and Instagram for my personal as well.
And we'll put everything in the comments too so they can connect with you. You know, we love you. My family loves you and your family. We love Water's Edge Church. I appreciate the heck out of you coming on and just talking with me. And there's probably dozens of topics that we should jump on and do this again.
Yeah, let's do it again. If you're open
to it. Guys, you know, we appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you subscribe. Do us a favor, leave a review. Let us know your thoughts. Yeah. It helps us to be found, pop up in more places as we grow this thing. And I appreciate you tuning in. And I look forward to seeing you next week with the next big dog.